blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you. From God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing Psalter number 65, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. For thy name's sake, hear thou me. For thy mercy, Lord, I wait. Pardon mine iniquity, for my sin is very great. 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 65.
Thank you. the portion of God's Word that we wish to read this afternoon. You can find recorded in the Gospel according to John and thereof chapter 20. But before we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John chapter 20, beginning by verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in their midst, and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered, and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name.
Let us now try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, thou who knowest what we say within our inner chambers, and thou who wilt instruct and reprove and rebuke thy own children, O that thou mayest appear also unto them in this afternoon hour, and to give that instruction which is so necessary. And thou sayest unto Thomas, that it were good for him had he not seen and yet believed. O Lord, thou knowest each and every one of thy church, and how difficult that it is for them. O that thou mayest look upon them in the days also in which we live. Then we read in thy word of him who did say, O Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. O that wretched unbelief that lives and that seems sometimes even to reign in the life of thy dear children. But thou also didst say, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Lord, thou must give it, and thou must increase it, and thou must strengthen it, and thou must give it in exercise time and time again. O that thou mayest lead thy church into those blessed times and seasons, as it was in those days where thou didst appear time and again to strengthen thy disciples in that most holy faith that thou hadst planted in their hearts and was so necessary for the time that lay before them. O that thou mayest look upon us as a congregation. O do give that faith in the truth of it, in the existence of it, in the heart of young and old together. O that we might learn to believe, Lord, and that we might believe thy holy word and the truth of it, and the wretchedness of our own hearts. Oh, that we might believe how sinful and how miserable that we are without God in this world, and that we may be given also to come to believe in thy dear and only begotten Son, whom thou hast sent into this world. Oh, that we may also be given to come to believe, and that we are also one of thy dear children, and that thou takest us also in a personal way for thy own account, and that we are hidden under the blessed shadow of thy wings. Oh, thy church cannot do without it, else the trouble of their soul continues even to the last breath. Or wilt thou give them a little rest by that true and saving faith whereof thou dost say a man has life through thy name? Oh, give us then that life, and give that life to prosper, and give it to flourish. Wilt thou water it with the blessed dew of thy Spirit, the former and the latter rains in the lives of each and every one of thy dear children, and that thou mayest give also in times of difficulty and trouble, tribulation, and that there may be a little faith, or a little repentance, a little looking back, and a little looking up. For thou art the first, and thou art the last, and thou who hast begun, and thou wilt also finish that good work that thou hast begun in the life of each and every one of thy dear children, that thou mayest visit in the days in which we live with our children. That thy Spirit and may go as heretofore, even in the midst of the congregation, where we are in thy house and in our homes, from heart to heart, Lord. For thou knowest each and every heart, and what we stand in need of upon our journey, whether it is that first light, that needs to come into our dark soul, or whether it is a reproof or a rebuke, or whether it is an increase of that light. Oh, give unto thy children desires, for they do not exist except thou dost give them also by renewal. Raise them up once again to seek their beloved. Oh, did she not say, come, my beloved, let us go forth into the fields. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us get up early into the vineyards. Let us see whether the vine flourish and the tender grape appear, and whether the pomegranates do bud forth. Oh, she had a desire, Lord, there to give thee her loves. Could it please thee so to come also into thy garden in the times in which we are living, and that there may be a giving of their love unto thee and a giving of thy love unto her, so that thy bride may be given to say, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Oh, do lead forth thy children into the blessed mysteries of free and sovereign grace, for they have no insight and they have no faith to believe, except that it all comes from above. O Lord, we beseech it of thee, who alone art able to give it unto us, for the first or by renewal, and that thou mayest give others also, so to be drawn with a holy jealousy, even in the midst of the trials and tribulations of thy church, even as a Ruth of old, and did look upon a tried Naomi, and she had a desire in the bottom of her heart, and that she may also be included among that people, and that thou wouldst be her God. Oh, could it be in the lives of our children and our young people, and that there may also be such desires born in a day of grace and in a time of salvation. Care thou for all thy children, wherever that they are, for the time is short, and what is coming upon us, we do not know what a day may bring forth. But the times are fearful. O Lord, wilt thou give them courage and strength and faith to go forward in this life and to endure that tribulation that is coming, wherein it shall be necessary to be upheld by thee. O Lord, if we have run with the footmen and they have wearied us, O how shall we contend with horses? Oh, could it please thee so to look upon thy church and come again and revive us as the corn. Oh, remember us, Lord. Look upon young and old. Do remember our school, all those that labor therein. Wilt thou supply for the teachers and the bus drivers and the administration and the school board? And wilt thou be with thy spirit also in the midst of our school, that our children may receive instruction for this short life between the cradle and the grave, but that their teachers also may be ensamples unto them, standing before them each and every day, that they may be given so also with their life, to point to that one thing needful, that they could not do with all that is here below, which is perishing, but that they themselves may feel their need, that they may also be converted, and that they may be an example unto the children and the youth of the congregation. Wilt thou care for all the afflicted and the sick ones? Thou knowest each one and their place. Remember the relatives, the fathers, the grandfathers, very sick, O Lord,
wilt thou supply in their need. For thou knowest their hearts and what they stand in need of. And then we can become old, but then we cannot die as that we have been born. Oh, that thou may visit, Lord, also in the last days of life, and that thou mayest give, that the callings may be blessed and sanctified unto them and unto their families, eternity, eternity, that is coming for each and every one of us. But we have no eyes to see, and we have no ears to hear, and no heart to understand, unless thou givest it unto us. Give that the callings that are heard in the world may enter also into our hearts, and that they may not be for us a savor of death unto death, but that they may be a savor of life unto life. Remember us in this hour. Separate us for a few moments from all that is here below, that we may be given thy Spirit in a rich measure, and that it may bring forth fruit to eternity. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 226, stanzas 2 and 3. A single day within thy courts, where I thy beauty see, is better than 1,000 days. My God, apart from thee, a lowly station in thy house were dearer to my heart than in the tents of wickedness to claim the chiefest part. 2 and 3 of Psalter 226.
Thank you.
congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon are taken from the portion that was read to you, John 20, and thereof the verses 19 and 20. John 20, verses 19 and 20. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. So far the words of our text. Peace declared by the risen Savior, first the recipients of this peace. Second, the evidences of this peace. And third, the reception of this peace. Peace declared by the risen Savior, first the recipients, second the evidences, and third the reception of this peace. Peace be unto you. That word peace, congregation, that has the same meaning as the Hebrew word shalom, that is a very common greeting with that Jewish people. And yet these words have more than just a common significance. And why? Because of the person that spoke those words. And that is that they were spoken by Christ himself. And what do we read about the Word of God? We read that Word, every word of God's Word, that is like silver, the Bible says, tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. And if that Word will come into our heart, then we will understand something of this purification. The Lord Jesus, he has said unto his disciples long before already, he said, My peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Not as the world gives, the Son of Man does give unto his children. Peace be unto you. What a deep and what a blessed significance this salutation has. Blessed is every man that may be a recipient of such a salutation of the Lord Jesus Christ. To whom was it spoken? It was spoken, we read here, unto fearful disciples. What do we read? Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Thus, fearful disciples, fearful of what? Fearful of man and fearful of God. Thus, in the first place, we read, for fear of the Jews. What Jews? Well, the Jews who had just crucified their master, whom they loved. The Jews who had just put him to death. The Jews who were now spreading a story about them, a lie about them,
and that they had stolen the body of the Lord Jesus, that they were thieves and who would love to have an opportunity to prosecute them. The disciples mourn. They mourn the loss of a friend. They mourn the loss of their Savior. And at the same time is added unto this sorrow, fear and trembling. And so the persecution of the church of God that has begun. But there is more. What do we read? Luke, he writes, and they were terrified and supposed they had seen a spirit. Soon, congregation, we are going to go also to the world of the spirits. When we die, boys and girls, and then our body will be laid in the grave, and then our soul that will go unto the land of the spirits. But now for a spirit to come in a human body or to come in a human form, that is something that is very, very fearful. And why? Because it is something that does not happen very often. No, it's something that happens only in very special circumstances. An angel of God. Where does an angel come from? He comes from the very presence of God. He comes from that holy place. And he is himself also holy. And he is also himself full of power. And that is given unto him from God. We can read about angels in the times of the Bible, how that they have appeared sometimes to God's children. And then there was always a great fear. Think of Manoah and his wife, and how and that there was a trembling because they had seen an angel of God, boys and girls. Even when there was a blessed message from heaven of the coming of the Savior into the world, a joyful song, yet we can read of the shepherds that they were sore afraid. Think only of Zacharias as he did his work in the temple and how he also was very sore afraid when the angel of the Lord did appear unto him. No wonder, when we think about that angel that has gone over that land of Egypt with a sword drawn in his hand, that he has come to destroy all the firstborn of the enemy of the Lord. Oh, no wonder, when we think of David, and when we read that he sees that angel of the Lord with that sword drawn in his hand, oh, then David also is trembling, that angel, and that has nearly slain Balaam. We think of an angel that has gone out against the enemies of the church of God. And that angel has slain 185,000 persons in one night. Oh, how holy God is. How evil sin is. And what a power that is given unto the servants of the Lord to go forth and to destroy and to put away sin from the presence of the Lord. That is what we read in the Word of God, that they are to carry out the justice of God against the wicked. Are you wicked? Do you know what the bride says? She says, I am black. Are you wicked? Do you know what the Apostle Paul says? He says, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, everything I would do good, and in everything I do nothing but evil. God's people cannot stand before God. They cannot stand before the justice of God. No, there is no man in the whole world who is able to stand before that justice of God, not in his unreconciled state. And that is now why that it is such a fearful thing when we may be brought into the presence of even one of the holy angels that are coming out of that presence of the Lord. Satan, he said, skin for skin, all that a man hath, he will give for his life. That is true. Satan, he is not ignorant of the truth. No, he is often using the truth, but he uses it in a twisted way. And then it is for the deception of people. But when he said skin for skin, oh, then in itself, yes, that is true. Thus that law of self-preservation, that is now one of the most basic laws that God has created in the human nature, so that a man wants to continue in his being, that he has a delight in his own existence, that he has a delight in his own well-being, thus to take our own life. Well, there is nothing so against our nature as to take our own life. And Satan, he works very hard, young people. It is a fearful time. And you, in a special way, are liable to be influenced by this deceit of the devil, which is so prevalent in the world in which we are living. So that Satan is trying to convince a man and that he will put away his own life, that he may die. Death is not natural. No, that is what man says. Well, death is just a natural thing, but that is a denial of God. That is a denial of our creation. It is a denial of the image of God. It is a denial of our fall. It is a denial of sin. It is a denial of God's justice and that punishment that is due unto each and every one of us. No, there is nothing more natural than for a man to fear death. That is a consequence of our guilt. How often are God's children, and they are not, are they not terrified? Are they not affrighted by the thought of death? And by that thought of appearing before God, Paul says, through fear of death, all their lifetime subject unto bondage. And why? Why is that? That lives so much more in the heart of God's children. We see the whole world. We know that death that is contrary to every human being. But we see the whole world going on laughing. We see the whole world going on dancing and in enjoyment of this world. And then we see God's children and they are trembling. Maybe you say, children, young people, no, I do not want such a life. Why is that? Oh, it is because the Lord, he is bringing his children closer unto himself. Then the Lord, he is giving impressions of the holiness of God so that people, they are made to tremble before that day appears where they shall tremble at his judgment seat. Oh, when we are brought a little closer, what does Job say? He said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore, he says, I abhor myself and repent in dust and in ashes. Oh, the closer that the Lord will bring us to feel a little bit of that holiness of God, even to see an angel of the Lord that has come out of his presence, Oh, then man will tremble. Peter, he said, Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. But you say, maybe, but God's children are safe. God's children are not the ones that need to fear. And that is true. Oh, that is so true. But it is one thing to be safe. And it is another thing to know that we are safe. There is so much presumption that we are safe. But that does not mean we are safe. No, just a little while ago, you probably read it too. 7 students there in India. Oh, they have fallen 4 stories to their death. Suddenly, all one moment, a railing broke. They thought they were safe, but they were not safe at all. Is that true of us too? Are we safe? Or are we not safe? And what is it upon which we are depending as we are traveling through this world to meet God? Oh, how many of God's children? Oh, they do not say, oh, if I only knew. If I only knew that I was safe. They say with David, oh, Lord, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Because that will take away that fear, the fear that is living in my heart. What do they desire? Oh, they desire evidences. That is what we read in our, we consider in our second thought, the evidences of that peace. Peace be unto you. Congregation, who can fathom? Who can fathom what is in those few precious words in this address to the fearful disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord Jesus does not desire to leave his people in fear, that they should tremble. No, he speaks peace unto his people. And to his saints. That is his whole word. If we will go from the beginning of the Bible unto the end of the Bible, then that whole Bible that is there to do one thing, that is to speak peace from heaven, from the Lord, unto his own children. But it is not enough that it is written in that word. It is not enough that it is there in letters and in words. It is not enough that it is there in an objective way. And why not? Well, because they say, well, I need to know it for me. It needs to become personal for me. It is something that I need to know that I am included in also. Is that declaration of peace also a declaration that is including me, or am I excluded from it? How will we know such a thing? Well, congregation, when Christ, he says here, peace be unto you, he did not say that to the whole world. He did not say that to the Pharisees. To the scribes. He did not say that to the Jews. He did not say that to Pilate. To whom did he say that? He said that to his fearful disciples. Thus, it had an address. He was speaking unto a specific group of people. Every word of God, when the Lord declares it in his word, it has an address always. Or were we ever included in the address? because if we are included in those to whom it is addressed, then the substance of that word that is for us in a personal way. We can read in the Bible about the angels, and they spoke unto those women, and they said, "Fear not ye." But now we read children of others who saw those angels. Who else saw the angels? Oh, then we can read about those keepers. And did they hear the same word from the angel of the Lord? Fear not ye? No. No. It was not spoken to them. Oh, we cannot, out of the word of God, just take every word unto ourselves. No, that word has to be addressed to us. That has to be spoken unto us. And now those angels, they said unto the women, "Fear not ye." But there was more. They said, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus." Oh, there is the difference between those women and those soldiers who fled. Oh, the Lord does not say, "Peace be unto you," to everyone in this world who is afraid. No, there is much fear in this world to whom those blessed words, they are never spoken, and for whom those blessed words, they were never meant. Were they meant for us? "Peace be unto you." The Lord, He declares that peace to whom? Or He declares that peace to those who love Him. He declares that peace to those who hate and who flee from sin. And yet fear. At the same time, fear to be condemned. They fear that they go lost. Oh, guilt. Guilt is with every man in this world, boy and girl. But guilt is accompanied with something in the life of that people. That guilt is accompanied with love. That guilt is accompanied with sorrow. And yet those fears, they are not gone. No, they remain. David, he says, "I am prone to halt and stumble. Grief and sorrow dwell within." Is that also true in your life? Or it was shame and guilt that humbled him. He says, "I am sorry for my sin." Are you also sorry for your sin? That is necessary. Yes, that is necessary. But at the same time, it does not take away the punishment. No, we can weep, congregation. We can weep our whole life. And we can weep to all eternity, and all the tears also. Then we have to experience it. It is not the repentance of a man in and of itself. No, it is necessary. But it is not those tears that are able to take away the sin of that people. No, that people, they still fear. They tremble. Foes about my soul, we read in God's word, they are closing. And then the psalmist, he is asking, "Oh Lord my God, do not forsake me. Let me know that thou art near." Oh, then he has a desire to come under the protection of the Lord and to appear unto him as his own Savior. And how is that then? Does the Lord appear for that people? Oh, ask the people. asked them if the Lord, he did not appear for them. What do we read here? We read, then came Jesus and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. And then he does even more. What do we read? And when he had so said, then he showed unto them his hands and his side. And Luke speaks also about his feet. Why does the Lord do that? Well, the Lord would show to his disciples that he was not a mere spirit. He would show to his disciples that he had flesh, that he had bones, that it was really him himself. But actually, there were other ways, were there not? He could say to his disciple, here is my arm. You may touch my arm, children. That would be the same, you say, no? Or here is my leg. You may touch my leg or my head. Did the Lord Jesus do that? Did he show to them his arm and his leg and his head? No. No. He used three other parts of his body. He showed to them his hands. He showed to them his feet. He showed to them his side. Why? Why did he choose just those parts? In order to prove to them that he was alive. Because at the same time, and then he would give his disciples true comfort. All that was much deeper than just that they would know that their friend was alive. No, they needed to know that their Savior was alive, and thus they needed to know that their Savior had been dead. Thus those wounds, when he will show to them, then he gives evidence to his disciples, not only that he lived, but also that he had died, and that is now so important in the life of his church. Why? What do they fear? Well, they fear death. They fear death. Death is that punishment that is coming also for them, and they are terrified when they are brought into that presence of the holy angels of the Lord. Oh, guilt is sitting still on their own account. They cannot die as they have been born. Then they need a Savior who lives, a Savior also who was dead. And so he says unto that people, behold, I am alive forevermore. Oh, he gives them ears to hear it. He speaks it with his mouth. Peace be unto you. Oh, he gives them eyes to see it. He shows it unto them in his hands and his feet and in his side. And he gives them also a heart to believe it. Oh, was that ever declared also in your own soul? With the evidences of it brought into your heart by the Lord? Well, how do I know that? That is a good question. We want to consider that after we sing. From Psalter 230, stanzas 5 and 6, the Lord's salvation will appear to men of faith and godly fear, and glory in our land shall dwell when we shall heed God's precepts well. 5 and 6 of Psalter 230.
Thank you.
Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. The Lord Jesus is not with his church today in the same way anymore. In his human nature, he is in heaven. Although he is not absent from them at any time, with his Godhead, majesty, grace, and spirit, as they mourn and as they weep, then he is not very far away from them. He knows their love. He knows their desire. He knows their grief for sin. He knows the burden of guilt. Oh, he knows the fears. He knows the unbelief. We heard it with Thomas. Oh, he does not appear today as he appeared in that day to come in his human form. No. But that does not mean he does not appear at all. No, that is far from the truth. The bride, she says, my beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. What does that mean? Oh, that means that he does indeed appear. That sometimes he is looking through those windows. That sometimes they may actually see him. Actually, that they may behold him. No, not with the natural eye, but with the eye of faith. Because faith does indeed apprehend him. It may see him more clearly or less clearly, further away or closer. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. What does that mean? Oh, he reveals himself. He reveals his wounds. He reveals his priestly work unto his fearful and mourning people. And then they are given to apprehend something by faith of that work. That is not just in their understanding. No, it is included. But that is also included in a historical faith. But there is more than that. Because he is revealing himself in their misery, in their wretchedness, revealing himself in their guilt, in their fear. That he is showing himself unto that people, that they may apprehend him as the solution for all their needs. Oh, that is real. You do not have to think that it is just an imaginary thing. No, no, that is just as clear as if a man could see it with his very eyes. Oh, there are things that we forget that we have seen. So many things that we have seen in our life. But those things, no, they are so clear to that people. That they are remembering those things so many years, yes, even upon their deathbeds. And now it is this soul-saving apprehension by faith of the Lord Jesus Christ in his priestly work that is accompanied also with emotions. It is accompanied with a rejoicing in their soul. What do we read here? Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Oh, one sight of him that was sufficient to take away all the fears and all the trembling both of man and the justice of God. all for the moment there, those disciples, they may experience that peace in their heart when the Lord, He gives that to appear also in this day by the Spirit of the Lord. Then He gives them to see something of the victory of that Savior over sin, over death. Did He ever show to you His hands and His side in all your wretchedness? Oh, may you ever enter a little bit and by a true saving faith into that putting away of sin and by the sacrifice of Himself. What a gladness then. What a gladness that was living in your heart, because at that moment then also your sin that was covered from your view. Oh, then you could sing with that psalmist, thy people's sins thou pardoned hast, and all their guilt hast covered o'er. Remove from them thy anger sore, all thy fierce wrath behind thee cast. Oh, for a moment, oh, then you may feel something, and that it is spoken even not only to others, but also to me, whether that is for a moment or for a longer time. Peace, peace be unto you. Oh, in the revelations of Christ, and then peace that may be experienced in the exercise of faith when the Lord is appearing and when they may see Him and when they may apprehend Him. But now in the application, in that further work, then it is that that church, they are established in that peace. Oh, there is no difference here in the substance of that faith. There is no difference here in the substance of that peace, no. But it is a matter of degree. It is a matter of the steadiness of that church, the comfort of an infant child, and the comfort of a young person in trusting father and mother. That is no different in substance, even though the one must see and the other does not need to see so closely anymore. That is not difference in the substance, no. That is the same. One is brought into further leadings. Oh, neither is one more a child than the other is a child. No, they are both the dear children of the Lord, even though one cannot say, I am a child, because he is still an infant, and the other, he is able to say it. Peace. Peace be unto you. That is what Christ declares. And he declares that unto his fearful church. They are full of turmoil. They are full of fear. There is an enemy. And that enemy is continually harassing that people. They are threatening that people. Oh, Satan would like to see that people tremble. And tremble indeed they do. So that often for a long time, then their soul that has so very little rest, so many voices. Oh, never was there a person in the whole world like you. Never was there a case in the whole world like your case. How many times have you not vowed that you were going to keep the ways of the Lord? And how many times in your life have you not broken those vows? There is no true love. There is proof of it in your life. There is nothing but carnality. There is nothing but worldliness. Oh, it is just the way that you have been brought up. It is because of what you have been taught in the days of your youth. Oh, your heart that has never actually been wrought upon. You are not upright. You are a hypocrite. Otherwise, it would be different. It is different in the life of God's children, turmoil, Oh, sometimes nothing but turmoil. You have sinned against received grace. You have sinned against better light. You knew when others did not know. There is no hope for you anymore. There has never been a change in your life. There has never been a change in your heart. Oh, you have only changed a few outward things. You have no new heart. Your heart that is still full of filthiness and your guilt that still lays for your account. Peace. Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Oh, blessed Savior. Oh, blessed suffering. Oh, blessed victory. Speaking peace unto his people and unto his saints. God and sinners reconciled. Righteousness and peace. They have kissed each other. Oh, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. I am black, the bride says, but comely. Oh, blessed Savior, nothing between heaven and my soul, nothing between God and my soul. All thy fierce wrath behind me cast. What an ocean of grace in those hands, in those pierced hands, in that pierced side, to cast the sin of that church into so that it can never be remembered anymore, not by God and not by man. Oh, peace. Peace be unto you, congregation. What a way we have been created. We were created in that blessed image of God. What a peace there was in that garden. Oh, then there was nothing there to disturb that peace, not on the outside and not on the inside. Until that moment that our fathers, oh, our first parents, oh, they have reached forth their hand and they have taken of that forbidden fruit. And then all the peace that was gone in the world. Oh, peace outside and peace inside. What did Jehu say? He said, what peace? So long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her wickedness that is so great and that is true. Oh, then there is no peace. Do you ever feel something of the turmoil because of sin? Oh, reconciliation. Reconciliation that has taken place. How by the wounds in the side, in the hands, in the feet of the Savior of the church to attain peace once again with God. Do you believe that? Is that a wonder unto you? Do you know what the Bible says? Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Oh, that is how we may receive that peace, when we may now be acquainted by a true and saving faith unto that mediator that is attained by poor, guilty, trembling sinners who are made glad by a sight, by the coming, by the appearing, and by the showing of the wounds of that living Savior. Oh, what a peace there is to be enjoyed by that church. What peace is that? All they say in this world, sometimes peace, yes, that is coming. The post-millennialists, or as the gospel that goes out unto the whole world, a and more people, they are converted, and they will become the people of the Lord, and they will serve the Lord until, well, the greatest part of this world. They are God's true people, and medicines, they will help, and we will get rid of sickness, and so there will be a great peace here upon this earth for 1,000 years. Is that what we read in the Bible? We read just the opposite. We read in the Bible that there is coming in the end of time wars, rumors of wars. We read that there is coming tribulation. For whom? For the true church of God, the remnant of the Lord that is going to be persecuted in the end of this world. The tribulations, the trials, they are going to increase. How is it then Christ spoke peace unto his church? Oh, because there is, first of all, here below, oh, there is a great peace to be had. A great peace. That is a peace in the soul. A peace from all the guilt of sin that has been taken away for that church by that blessed mediator. Would that give you peace? Would that give you peace now? If you said, oh Lord, oh could I only know that also my sin has been atoned, that also my sin has been forgiven. Is that now the peace that we are looking for? Oh, could I be reconciled? Could I also be the object of the blessed favor of the Lord? Oh, that peace is experienced here below. It is experienced by the church of God. Some only by moments, short moments, but they are not strangers of it. Others, by God's grace, they may be established in that peace, but there is indeed an establishing of that peace that is soon coming for everyone of that true church. We read it in God's word, peace within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. When they shall beat the swords into plowshares, and they shall beat the swords into pruning hooks. And then that prince of peace, Solomon, was the blessed type. And when there was rest from all the enemies around, fought by David beforehand, and so that people, they received peace, oh, a blessed type of that peace and that ruling one day for that blessed church of God, oh, that prince of peace, then the wolf that shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard, he shall lie down with the kid, and the sucking child, he shall play on the hole of the asp, and the wound, and the child from the womb, he shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den, and they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Oh, what shall that be? When nothing anymore shall disturb, and nothing anymore shall ever come between God and his church. Peace be unto you. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O give us to feel something of the blessedness of that peace, that we might feel a holy jealousy for the portion of that people, and that we might seek it while it is to be found in this short life. Oh, give us with all our heart to turn away from all the turmoil of this world but to feel it in our hearts, and that we may seek those wounded hands, the wounded side, and the wounded feet of thy dear Son. Oh, give them to appear in the life of thy fearful people. Show them to them, Lord, that they may receive a little comfort, and give them to know and that they love thee, and that thou dost love them, and that thou hast paid that price for them and taken away all the punishment, that they may have a little peace, a little rest upon that good foundation. And while they are awaiting the time here below to be taken up into that world where no sin shall enter, and where thou wilt dwell in peace and in favor with thy church. Oh, do it, Lord. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Forgive our many sins. Help us in this week, each one in our place. Be with us as a consistory when we meet. For Jesus' sake, amen. 53:1-5. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green he leadeth me, and the quiet waters by. 1:3-5 of Psalter 53.
Thank you.
Receive now the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.